You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Umsi. Alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how's it going,
brother? Hey. Only terrific, Mo. Only terrific. We were having a little discussion prior to the show. We moved on. You know, we moved on from that conversation. We probably should have been taping.
How was your weekend?
Amazing. You know, we had a little holiday, so a little extended time with family and friends. Mm-hmm. It was good here in America. So it's good. Now we're back. We're into December now. It's the holiday season, you know, and it's all good. What about yourself? Well, how was your weekend?
Man, some of these players been on holiday since before the season began, but
okay.
But my weekend was okay.
Was it as usual?
No, it wasn't. That's why I was only okay. I didn't want to see no one this weekend. I just kept myself to myself. Wholesome weekend.
A little rest and recovery.
Yeah, you need that. Okay. You need that sometimes. But what I did do this weekend is on Sunday night, we watched the number one seed and the number two seed in both conferences going head to head, starting with the Celtics and Cavs, where the Cavs got a 115-111 win over the Boston Celtics. And the thing that really stood out to me in that game, and there's a quote here from Kenny Atkinson, and you know, the Celtics were trying to target Darius Garland with Tatum getting matched up on him. And Kenny just said, I don't want to hide him anymore. You got to be able to switch. You can't hide in the playoffs. And to Darius Garland's credit, he did an okay job, as well as you could expect someone of his stature to guard a player like Jason Tatum. But the Cavs managed to come away with a win. Obviously, there was no Derek White and Jaylen Brown for the Celtics. So if they match up in the playoffs, whatever, it may go slightly differently. But I thought that game was fascinating. What was your big takeaway from the top two teams in the East going head-to-head?
Well, I didn't put much into this game. And the reason being, there was no Jaylen Brown. There was no, the two guard? I can't think of somebody.
Derek White.
So I didn't put much into the game. Now, other than the records, you know, other than the players who were available for that game, you know, I'm sure both teams came out with the idea that they wanted to win the game. And the game brought about a certain level of intensity, which you expect. However, you have to have a full roster. So I couldn't take away anything from the game other than the night before or the previous game, Cleveland lost.
They lost two to the Hawks.
Yeah, so they're continuing to show me that they have, you know, they have some basketball integrity with this group. I like what I see with this group. I like the fact that they compete. And they're giving you the full menu of, like, we're not only going to play offense because they are a really good offensive team, but defensively they're giving you the effort from everyone who's on the floor. So I give them credit. Nice game, nice win at home.
43-point fourth quarter.
Against the Boston Celtics. But the Boston Celtics were not at full strength. No excuses. They weren't at full strength. And
it was still had a four-point game.
And they had a chance to win the game. Now, to give the guys credit who were available, right? You play with who you have available. And that's no excuse. That's not to say that I think Boston is better. Right now, I think both of these teams are really good. I would give the Celtics a slight edge because of their experience. They've done it. They did it last year. However, this Cleveland Cavaliers team, I think they are serious, ladies and gentlemen. I like what I'm seeing. And they look like they are going to be a very tough out for someone in the playoffs as they continue to go through the season, especially if they continue at the pace that they are currently playing at right now.
Absolutely. Over in the West, we have the 1 and 2 seeds matched up. It is the OKC Thunder and the Houston Rockets, with Houston taking a 119-116 win. What did you make of that one? Because that was a thrilling game all the way from the start to the end.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard now with the Thunder because they're down a huge part of their big three, Chet Holmgren, you know. So again, I don't want to put too much into saying, oh man, Houston has arrived, for instance. No, I think Houston is playing, you know, terrific
Well, they are
basketball.
15-6, 8-2 over the last 10 for second place in the West.
However, it's a different meaning when you're beating a team when they have their entire roster, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm giving Houston credit because the first sign of a good team is win the games you're supposed to win. And give Houston and the Rockets players, their staff, their players in their organization, give them credit. This has been a tremendous turnaround, what they've been able to do in a short amount of time. They are playing just amazing basketball on both sides of the floor. They're taking on the personality of their coach. And suddenly now they're competing at a very elite level. So give those guys credit. You know, I love the OKC Thunder are continuing to play well. They had an opportunity to win this game. It was a very competitive game, but it's very hard to consistently win these type of games when you're not at a full roster. Chet Holmgren is a very big part of what they're going to do in the future. And if they're going to, you know, push this team and get to the NBA Finals and win the NBA Finals, they're going to need a player of Chet Holmgren's caliber. So, you know what? They're continuing to compete. Shai Alexander is Shai. The rest of the guys are plugging in and filling in nicely, but it's going to be very hard for them to really have the expectations that I know they have, which is to win a championship minus Chet Holmgren. That's going to be a big part. So, but I'm not taking away anything from the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets, you know, wow, you know what? What Van Fleet, my guy, you know, he
He
played
has
very
shot from damn
well.
near half court down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, Freddie had like 38, 40 points in that game, if I remember correctly. And it's been a great game. And then you got Jalen Green, who's quietly putting up really nice numbers. So that they're turning into a terrific backcourt combination. You know, I see Steven Adams is back. You know, they're beginning to get healthy themselves with their entire roster. And I think, you know, right now, you know, that's a tough place to play down there in Houston.
Well, there's a couple players I want to talk about here. The Lakers, they're kind of settling into where I think people expected them to be before the season began. They're 5-5, they're a 500 team over the last 10 games. They're 12-9, eighth in the West. Obviously, LeBron showing some signs of age, which is natural. I don't think we need to talk about that too much because he's almost 40 years old, and that's kind of expected. But Anthony Davis scored at least 20 points in his first 14 games. Over his last six games, though, he's been under 20 points in four of them. So it feels like we're in a cycle with Anthony Davis where he'll have like a 10 to 15 game stretch where he looks like a top five player in the NBA. And, they've got him in the MVP conversation and so on and so forth. And then he'll have a 10 to 15 game stretch where he looks like a significantly worse player. Do you think that's due to him not having the durability, picking up a few knocks here and there? What's the reason behind this with Anthony Davis? Last night he had 12 points on 4 of 14 shooting, in a loss to the
Well,
Timberwolves.
you
A big
know,
loss.
it's one thing that I take enormous responsibility as a player, okay? And I played at a position where if I was going to have a career, I had to learn very quickly. My job is to make sure that the best players get the ball where they best operate. That's my job. Okay, so you know, when the other four players on the floor are doing what they do offensively, I took great pride in that. You know, this guy's getting his 25 30. This guy's getting his 25 30. Make sure the big guy's getting their touches. Make sure that, you know what, the fourth option, because I was the fifth option, make sure the fourth option is getting his touches, right? Because he's guarding the other team's best offensive player or whatever the case may be. I took great pride in that. Now, the thing that's interesting with as I watch the Lakers is LeBron James is the lead guard. And today, you know, that's what they call it now, right? He's the lead guard. So the lead guard is averaging over 20 points a game. The lead guard, arguably, if he's not the first option, he's 1A. Okay. And then when the first option doesn't get touches, you can't go to the guard and be like, okay, you're managing the game. Everyone has a role here. Austin Reeves and the other kid connect, right? Those are the leading guards. They're not responsible for managing the game.
They're off-ball players more so than a floor general type.
I'm just a watcher of the game. I'm just a casual watcher because you tell me it's positionless basketball, but then such and such in whatever social media tells me they are point forward or whatever the case may be. The problem with the Lakers is who is accepting the responsibility of making sure that everyone gets the ball where they need it? Okay. So I watched LeBron. You know, he is without question the lead guard. But then he struggles, right? He goes up and down. And then we'll say, well, you know, he's getting up there in age. Okay. All right. That's fine. Then Anthony Davis has games where he goes up and down. But again, as I watched, maybe on my television, I was the only one that saw Austin Reeves didn't play. Okay, so that's going to change up the spacing on the floor. The problem is when you are a center, right? I know it's positionless basketball, but believe it or not, Anthony Davis is probably the center, right? And the reason he's the center is because he has a significant advantage at the center position. He's 9 times out of 10, he's quicker than everyone else that he plays against every single night, which is an advantage for the Lakers, which is allowing him, as you see, he's doing short rolls, screen. He's playing more in the mid-range than I've ever seen him in a long time. And he's doing things now that is they're playing through their strength, which give J.J. Redick them credit. But when your initiator of your offense isn't feeding him, okay? Now, how many shots did he get? I'm just going to look this up. How many shots did he get last night?
Who, okay. Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
14. Okay, 4 or 14.
All right, he gets 14 shots, right? That's not enough shots for him. Like this guy, my job is to make sure he gets 20 plus shots every single night if we're going to win. Okay. Now, that's how I see their team as it's currently constructed, right? They have two offensive players that will probably command at some point during the course of the game, if not the entire game, a double team. One of those guys I've taken out of the operating area and I've made him an initiator. Okay, that's fine. That's a coach's decision. I don't know what they're doing. So now that leaves Anthony Davis with the responsibility to score. That's his priority now. Every night, Anthony, we need you to get 25 plus if we're going to win the game. So when he doesn't get those amount of touches, that means we're not playing to our strengths as a team. Now, who's going to take responsibility for that? Okay, so let's look at it. So you have the kid connect. He's a rookie. Okay. He's a rookie. He's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. By the way, he's playing against Anthony Edwards last night. So I'm not expecting him to do anything other than just learn the game. He's a rookie. And then you have the kid, D'Angelo Russell, who we know he's a scorer, right? He is a scorer. He's not an initiator. That's never been his thing. And what did he get? Okay. He gets 20 points. He goes 8 for 12. What can you say? Now, the other guys, one gets 16 shots. That's LeBron. So that's your lead guard. Your lead guard leads you now in attempted field goals attempted. Oh, it's an imbalance here. So to me, it's just one of those games that we chalk up. Mo is like, for whatever reason, we don't play well. We didn't play in our rhythm. We have to get back to playing Laker basketball. And Laker basketball has to be with Anthony Davis being the primary scorer. It's real simple. So the reason Anthony Davis is not whatever he goes up and down, well, he has to be featured, right? I can't expect us to win and he's shooting 28% from the field. No disrespect to anyone, but if I'm the guard on that team, I'm going, okay, I got to figure this out. I got to get the big fella involved early and often. I got to get him playing well early so that he does all the other things. He starts blocking shots. You know, I think he had double figures rebounds last night. He's a terrific help defender, blah, blah, blah. And he should be in the he should be in the MVP conversation because he's that level of talent. But I take responsibility for making sure of that every night. So I think right now the problem lies in the following. How much responsibility can LeBron James handle at this stage of his career? At one point, you could ask him to do all of these things, and that was fine. He's still a 20-point scorer. However, can he become a 20 to 25-point scorer and lead the team and do all the other things? Now, that is the big question, and I'm not sure.
Bless you.
I'm not sure. Thank you. I'm not sure where he's at with that on a back-to-back, by the way. Okay.
I've seen the thing today about his goal of playing 82 games, and of all the players in the NBA who are allowed to do load management, I think LeBron's the only one who's allowed to do load management at his age.
I again, this
Because
is a
playing all
new.
82 is, you can see, is already taking its toll on him.
Well, Mo, the thing is, I think we have to take in which, and I encourage everyone, this league, you have to give these coaches credit. Because when people say, well, it's taking a toll, you know what's amazing? What's amazing as I watch. I just happened to watch the Lakers last two games. Actually, last three games, because I think they played Oklahoma, then they played Utah, then they played Minnesota last night. I love the defensive schemes and the defensive adjustments from game to game during an 82-game schedule. And I love them even more because we see the adjustments from game to game in the playoff series. I love how people are defending LeBron James. I love how they're defending him now. And the reason I love how they're defending him because you can clearly see a trend going on here. Now, because LeBron James has seen every adjustment possible, I expect him to make an adjustment at some point too. So people say, well, he's doing whatever. No, he's just having to play in a space right now because of injuries and doing things. He's taking a heavy responsibility of initiating the offense minus Austin Reeves. That means he's playing baseline to baseline now. That means he's expending more energy. That means he's the one that's in control from the Lakers' perspective, making sure that they're playing at the flow and the pace that their coaches and their team believes that it gives them the best chance to win. And I'm not sure on a back-to-back, Mo, what that means for him. I'm not sure what that means for him, Mo, when you are a defensive team and you say, force him to drive. Why? Because that puts more pressure on him to run. Make a play. I mean, Mo, these coaches are so good that I've been in part of games. And I'm sure these current players, when you have a defensive scheme, when you say force him to shoot below the free throw line. Now, why would a coach say that? Because they know that puts extra miles during the course of a game. Don't let him just pull up from three. Force him to play below the free throw line. Why? Because it takes way more energy to drive that ball to the basket than to pull up from a three. And then when he misses, he has to sprint back. Now, I'm not sure if the Lakers see this, but you clearly can see that the other teams are forcing him to drive. I don't know what he's shooting over the last two or three games. I don't know. But it's clear to me that they're forcing him to drive and they're staying tall at the basket now. Well, before LeBron James would just finish over the top of you. How many times this year have you seen LeBron James drive to the basket and get no calls? That's probably the most glaring thing that I've seen in a while with LeBron James because he's not finishing over the top of people at the current rate that we're accustomed to watching him do, if there's anything. So now LeBron James is probably going to have to make an adjustment and play in the mid-range somewhere, because if he's not getting those calls at the basket, that puts them in poor transition defense. This is not an accident. Okay, Mo? Yeah. Utah almost beat them the other night. They lose again. Okay, and they happen to play against two shot blockers. Really three, because Hardenstein does a really nice job at the basket. Okay. The kid Walker Kessler does a nice job at the basket. I think he's first or second in block shots. And by the way, Rudy Gobert, last year's Defensive Player of the Year, does a nice job. So this is not an accident, Mo. This is just everyone has to figure out how teams are going to defend you, what your weaknesses and strengths are currently in any given moment or any given little segment of the season, and you make adjustments. I have no doubt LeBron James will make an adjustment. I have no doubt about it. Why? Because he's seen them all. He's going to watch the game just like I'm watching the game, and he'll figure it out. Now, it's really hard for him to just physically overwhelm people on a back-to-back now at this age, as it should be, but he will do other things. Why? Because he understands the game at an elite level. So I'm not concerned, but I think it's interesting that what the coaches are saying around the league, I think it's interesting that they're forcing him to play below the free throw line now, where you never, ever wanted LeBron James to attack the rim before. Now they're saying, force him to drive. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's clear that that's what's going on. Now, he's probably saying, wait a minute, that's odd, right? Because suddenly, when are people forcing a player like him to drive to the basket? Think about that. What was the one thing that you've always done with LeBron? Force him to do what? Shoot jump shots. Shoot. Keep him out of the lane. Okay. So everybody goes through an adjustment. And now this is where he's at in his career. And I assure you, in a week or two, or whenever it happens, he will figure it out and he'll adjust, and then the teams will go to something new. Because right now, that's what's going on.
Well, what I'm curious about is another player and what's going on with them. Because we talked a lot about the lead guard position, and the lead guard for the Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, he's very good at home. He's averaging 23 points a game on 48% from the field, and your favorite stat, 64% true shooting. But on the road, he's averaging 12 points a game on 32% from the field, on 43% true shooting. Why is Haliburton not able to get anything going on the road?
All right. I'm just watching. I don't know, but I'm watching. And Mo, if you watch the game from the, it's really hard for me to watch a game and to be a fan. That's my goal in life, is just to watch the game, enjoy the game, and go home. I can't help but watch the menu of plays. I can't help but watch the schemes. I can't help but watch how coaches make adjustments. I can't help the matchups. I just can't help it. So I started watching the game. All right. This is to the Indiana Pacers and their fans. The physicality in which the other players are playing against Tyrese Haliburton is really unsettling to me as a guard. Because the first thing you have to do is you have to match the intensity and energy of your opponent. If the referees are going to allow the opponent to be that physical, that's fine, as long as I'm allowed to be that physical. When you watch the Indiana Pacers, watch the physicality in which everyone's playing against with Haliburton. Just watch it. It's glaring to me. It's like, oh, everyone is being very, very physical with him. For the most part, Mo, you're more physical at home than you are on the road. So it is no accident to me that he plays better at home, because normally you're a little bit more aggressive at home than you are on the road. But when you start seeing a player of this caliber with these type of stats, where he's one player at home and he's one player, well, what's going on here? Okay, so I started watching the game. I watched them the other night versus the Memphis Grizzlies. I think it was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep. He had 8 points on 30% from the field.
And I thought, okay. Now, I I'm just watching the game. I'm just a casual observer of the game. However, I said, oh, this is interesting. Because now this is going around the league. This isn't something that's just by accident. That's the one thing about the NBA. Once they find out a weakness in your game, I can assure you it goes around the league like that because everyone is advanced scouting the games. So if I were Tyrese Halliburton, I would just match the intensity of the game. I would just match it. Whatever, however the referees are going to call, just call it, just be consistent. But right now, I can assure you that when you watch them play, watch how physical the other team's guards are with him. That to me is telling me everything about how the other teams are preparing for me. Okay. All right.
So you're saying it's the
He
difference in physicality between road games and home games?
yes.
Why would that
Yes.
be? The refs don't call much for you when you're on the road, or?
It's just a natural thing. It's like, why do we call it home court advantage? A ball and two baskets. Does it really matter? It does matter. We know that the bench players traditionally play better at home than they do on the road. Why? We know that. People say we need in game seven, we want to be at home. Why? This is just it's just a natural instinct. These there's a human element to this. So the great players play well on the road. That's why we call them an X factor. Okay? That's why they're great players. The role players, for the most part, play better at home than they do on the road. That's why the coaches shorten their rotations on the road. There's a human element to this. Tyrese Halliburton, just watch it. I'm just watching. I just watched it. I was like, oh wow, that's interesting. I was like, it's interesting because I'm always looking at the human element because the human dynamics of any game involves one important ingredient, winning. Right? I'm not looking at the stats. I'm looking at who's actually trying to win the game. There's a certain amount of energy, toughness, and things that you have to do to win a basketball game. Right? I know we put a lot of emphasis now on true shooting percentages, and you like to needle me with that and all these things. But the truth of it is, someone's got to get that loose ball, someone's got to set a screen, and someone has to make sure that the other team is not trying to be more physical with one of our better players, right? Okay. When, I've played with guys, sometime, hey, BJ is playing a little bit aggressive. And then all of a sudden, the bigs are trying to set screens on me to send a message, hey, stop being aggressive with our guards. That's how the game works. Okay. A guy just casually sets an illegal screen on me. Okay, message received. Okay. So there's if they're going to do that to Tyrese Halliburton, I'm expecting one of the other big guys to make sure that, hey, leave this guy alone. This is one of our guys. Because everyone can't be a physical player, right? Okay, so here's an example. Mo, how many times did we see other teams trying to be physical with Steph Curry over the years?
Oh, they tried.
Okay. And who always stepped up to make sure that that situation was resolved?
Draymond Green.
There you go. So I just gave you the solution. Everyone is going to try to. I can't guard Steph Curry, but what I can do is I can be physical with him. And every single time I see Draymond Green get an illegal screen, and I see Draymond Green get involved in every one of those little skirmishes. Now, my suggestion to the Indiana Pacers, one of those bigs are going to have to play traffic cop. Because it's clear to me what's going on, but maybe I'm just not watching the stats. I'm just watching the game. Because no one should be treating him the way I'm seeing other. I'm mad right now. If you want to know, I'm a little upset with the bigs for allowing this to happen. Okay? This is why I respect bigs who take care of their little guys. Okay, I would play Charles Oakley, Bill Cartwright, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal. Those are the guys I want to play with because I don't have to worry about any guard trying to get physical with me because the enforcers would come and make sure to say, hey, I don't know who you play tomorrow night, but tonight, clean that up. That's why everyone loves Charles Oakley, by the way. That's why Steph Curry loves Draymond Green, by the way. Okay, you get the message, Mo? Now, Pacers, you got an all-star caliber guard. I don't know who's going to do it. I don't know who wants to play that role, if any. No one wants to play that role. But that role is needed there at Indiana if they're going to continue to advance.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. And hopefully we get some good NBA action going on tonight with some of these games around the league. I think it's is it NBA Cup night again tonight? I think it's the final round.
Is this the final round?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, you know, my Detroit Pistons are 3-0. I just want you to know that our Detroit Pistons are 3-0 in the cup round, right?
Does that mean they're qualifying?
I think they play the Bucks tonight. I think if I
yeah
if I
yeah saw yeah, that it's the winner of Pistons Bucks will go to Vegas to represent Group B. Apparently,
how about that? How about that?
Yeah,
how about that?
That's going to be interesting. The Hawks won Group C. The Magic and the Knicks are both 3-0, so they'll fight out for Group A in what will be a good game tonight. I think the Warriors will get Group C, and then the Suns, the Thunder, and the Spurs are in a three-way tie right now for Group B, and then I think the Rockets have won Group A. But it is an interesting format.
Yeah, how about that, Bo? How about it? Well,
you
and I will be watching.
You want to pick the winners?
Sure, let's go through it. Let's get the scouter report. Let's get the injury report, and then
Okay, Bucks Pistons is the first game that we've got. Giannis is a game time decision.
Oh gosh, what's going on with Giannis?
I don't know.
I'm gonna go Pistons.
You going Pistons?
He's a game time decision. I mean, what else am I supposed to say?
Let me see if there's any reporting. I can't see anything on the news about Giannis with an injury, so I'm picking the Bucks. The Wizards and the Cavs, it's got to be the Cavs.
Okay.
The Sixers and the Hornets.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
I'm picking Hornets at home. No, wait, let me get the injury report. How about that?
Wait a minute. You just gave me this little lesson about everyone's cooking players and all that for the 76ers, right? And now you're picking the Hornets? And
what are we
they're
talking
minus
about?
LaMelo Ball? Wait a minute, Mo. Hold on.
What are we talking about?
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
the Sixers are minus Embiid.
We'll keep that one off. That'll be an off.
The Sixers are minus Embiid and Drummond. But to be fair, the I have to scroll down even further because LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges, Daquan Jeffries, Trey Mann, Mark Williams, and Grant Williams. I don't know. I'm gonna be honest with you, BJ. I don't know or care who wins this game. I could care less about the Sixers and the Hornets playing in the NBA Cup on a Tuesday night in December. It is not moving the needle for me.
I'm just gonna go Hornets at home. I'm gonna go Hornets at home.
I think we all lose if we watch that game, to be honest. But here we are. The Pacers and the Raptors. I'm picking the Raptors at home.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We just talked about Haliburton being unable to score on the road. The interesting one now, the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks.
They're both undefeated in cup play, right?
They are indeed. And the Magic are on a 6-game win streak. The Knicks have won their last two.
You know, I'm just going to keep picking against the Magic. Because I'm rooting for the Magic, and every time I pick against them, they win. So that's a tough game. The Knicks should win that game, but I got to give the Magic credit, man. They are playing minus, you know, their best player. They are playing terrific. So I'm gonna pick the Knicks.
I'm picking the Knicks as well. The Jazz and the Thunder. I'm picking OKC.
Yes.
The Grizzlies and the Mavericks.
Who's available?
Klay Thompson is a game time decision. Luka Doncic is back. Derek Lively is a game time decision. Najee Marshall is out. Dante Exum is out. Zach Edey is out. Gigi Jackson is out. And Vince Williams Jr. is out.
And who's available for the Grizzlies?
No, that was Edey.
Edey.
Jackson.
Okay.
So
Josh playing?
Yeah.
Josh playing? I'm going to go Grizzlies just to keep it interesting.
I like that. I like that. Marcus Smart will be playing. The Spurs and the Suns.
I'm gonna go Spurs. I'm gonna go Spurs with Wemby in the mid-range area. If Wemby keeps playing in the mid-range area, I can't go against him.
Yeah, I did a little YouTube video about that. If you guys want to see more, you can check it out on the Hoop G's
The
main channel.
if he is in the mid-range, I can't go against him. But I will. Kevin Durant and Wembanyama will be on the court together. And I just now had to find eight other players and to get out there where I have 10 7-footers. That's my goal. Bless you. That's
Yusuf Nurkic there.
Yeah, but yeah.
The Rockets and the Kings. You
I'm
know
gonna
I'm
go
picking the
Rockets.
Rockets.
I'm going Rockets. Right now, the Kings, something's missing with the Kings right now. I'm not really sure. You know
You
what it
weren't
looks
a
like to me?
fan of Mike Brown deciding to switch everything with Wembanyama on the court the other night? Malik
Well,
Monk,
you know,
you can guard Wemby. De'Aaron Fox, you
yeah,
can guard Wemby. You didn't like that
well,
strategy, BJ.
here is what I'm gonna say about the Kings. Sabonis is an all-star at the center position. However, at some point, you have to have big guys on the floor in order to advance and play against the better teams in the league, right? Size, you need a certain level of size to play. With the exception of Sabonis, I don't know where their size comes from. And this to me is troubling, right? You know, they had Harrison Barnes there last year. Now they have DeMar DeRozan is probably the second biggest player on the floor, you know, after Sabonis. It's like, I don't get it. Now, I get when you can play in stretches with small ball, but when you play a steady diet of small ball, I think the other teams adjust. So I would like, because I like this team, but I would like for them to get bigger. Like, at some point, you got to start playing Sabonis at the power forward position. Like at
Because
some point, you got to be
this,
able to change how you play at
yeah.
some, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you play 30 minutes with him at the power forward position, but it would be nice for you to be able to play 10 minutes of just where you play big. You know, you play Sabonis, another 7-footer, and then you put, you know, is it the Murray kid at the small forward, De'Aaron Fox, and DeMar DeRozan. That's a good size team. And then you can go back to playing your small ball at some point during the game to mess up the matchups. And you give different looks during the course of a game. I think the steady diet of trying to be the fastest team in the league for 48 minutes, other teams adjust. It's kind of like,
I don't even feel like they're as fast as they were when Mike Brown
exactly,
first
they're
came
not
second
as fast as
round.
they were. And here's my thing. When you keep throwing a fastball all the time, you just get used to it. I think this team has to figure out. Yeah, we would like to play fast because De'Aaron Fox, their best player, is the fastest, maybe one of the fastest guys in the league. However, the other guys aren't. But they do have tremendous size. They are really good players, but you got to take advantage of it. Like, you got to be able to play a different style of play. And you got to meet the you have to meet the course or the physicality of the game. I think that's where they're losing. These close games. They're just not big enough. They're just not big enough to play against the bigger teams and the more physical teams. And I think that's a problem. So I'm going to pick the Rockets in this game.
Okay. The Warriors and the Nuggets.
I'm going to pick Denver.
Yep. Steph
I'm
Curry is a
going to go
game
to
time decision.
Yeah, he's been having some physical problems this year too, correct?
He's got some sort of is it tendonitis in his knees? I'm picking the Nuggets for that. And then the Trailblazers and the Clippers.
You know what? The Clippers in the West and Orlando in the East. So I'm going to pick the Trailblazers. So that means the Clippers are going to win.
Okay, because I'm picking the Clippers for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I can't believe the Clippers are playing this well. I just can't believe it, you know? I even saw James Harden do the stirring of the thing the other night. I was watching them
He's back.
play. Is he back? Okay.
He's better when it's just him, though. You know what I mean?
I respect that. If that's what, if, I respect anyone that wants that responsibility. So
Yeah.
if he wants that responsibility, I respect that. I respect that. And you know what? Hey, I'll roll with that. If that's what the responsibility he wants and he comes out and takes that on, I respect that.
Well, that is another episode of the Hoop Juice Podcast. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. BJ and I will be back tomorrow breaking down more and breaking down the NBA Cup, giving our predictions for Vegas. But until next time, get buckets.